From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today, our weekly conversation with columnist and editor at BlackAgendaReport.com, Margaret Kimberly, about her Freedom Rider column this week, entitled, Democrats Attack Trump from the Right.
Yeah, Democrats are, instead of facing their ignominious defeat, this Hillary Clinton's defeat was just the latest in the series. House lost, Senate lost, state houses lost. So the Democrats are out across the country. And rather than face that, rather than talk about it, rather than change, they attack Trump using the language of the right. And I refer specifically to this whole Russophobia, the anti-Russia, anti-Vladimir Putin propaganda. And they this started during the campaign when Hillary Clinton made a huge mistake. Instead of talking about what she would do for the country, she chose to simply attack Donald Trump. And she, one of her her issues was alleged relationship with Russia, creating a relationship that doesn't even exist. And seizing on some rather bland statements that Trump and Putin made about one another. And it's continued. It was used throughout the campaign. And after the defeat, Democrats seized upon it, blaming Russia for the defeat, claiming that Russia hacked the DNC emails, which were exposed by WikiLeaks, which were more than likely a leak. And going on and on about how the intelligence community, this is an interesting new phrase, they used to refer to intelligence agencies.
Right.
Now it's an intelligence community, making them sound warm and cuddly.
You said like a block association. You said like a neighborhood block association in the article.
Exactly, exactly. Makes people, you know, warm and gives people a warm and fuzzy feeling about these agencies who exist in order to subvert democracy at home and abroad. So now you have this sorry sight of people who call themselves progressives who ought to be guarding us against intelligence agencies singing their praises and quoting the FBI and the CIA. And there's this mantra of phrases. They sound like a cult. Intelligence community, 17 intelligence agencies, which I didn't know we had 17, but at any rate, all agree. Now, the thing is, these intelligence agencies do what presidents tell them to do. They'll start a war, make the case for war, as they did with George Bush, and that's what I say to everyone. I said, are these the same intelligence agencies who assured us there was WMD in Iraq? Because if they are, you ought to at least be skeptical. I happen to not believe it at all. And this has continued to be an excuse for the defeat. And it's gotten to be rather dangerous, frankly. There's a legislator in California who's sponsoring a bill that would require that public school students in California be taught that Russia subverted the election. Congressional Black Caucus members, a Congressional Black Caucus sinking lower and lower with each passing day.
And you thought it wasn't
Barbara
possible.
Lee opposed the Electoral College certification of Trump's victory based on the fact that Russia interfered in the election. Elijah Cummings joined in. Maxine Waters joined in. She said it was interesting imagery. She said Putin and Trump are in bed together. They have their arms around each other. It sounded kind of kinky. And then she blamed Putin for everything wrong and things that the crimes the U.S. has committed. She blamed Putin for killing children in Syria, when if it weren't for the United States, there would never have been a Syrian war. This effort to topple the Assad government, which is one of the more shameful episodes in the Obama administration. I went on Friday to I attended the J20 protests on inauguration day in Washington, and there are a couple thousand people in our group, a few thousand, and there were a few, but five or six people with these signs, anti-Putin signs. Essentially, there was one written in Russian, and I asked some Russian friends to translate on Facebook, and the sign said, "Thanks, Putin." So, you know, the picture of Trump and Putin on bare-chested on horseback together is photoshopped thing. So that kind of thing. And that, you know, this was a very much a leftist march too. This was not a Democratic Party march. So this is clearly they're milking this for all that it's worth, and clearly it's the orders have come down from the Democratic leadership that they are to stick to this script. Not that anybody is supposed to figure out how they lost. Not that there should be any mea culpas about the fact that Trump is president because the Democrats messed up. And I find it's not surprising that the leadership wants to shift blame, but Democrats, the rank and file, are really passive. It's astounding to me. On the one hand, people say this is horrible, this is terrible, this is the apocalypse, Trump is Satan. And then when you say, well, aren't you mad at the Democrats for losing? You get blank expressions.
No.
Like they just don't want to go there.
Right. Yeah. A lot of them have been basically blaming people that have criticized Clinton for her losing instead of Clinton and the misdeeds that the DNC committed that put her in that spot in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I got... this was kind of interesting. A young woman on Facebook from California who appears by, you know, from looking at her Facebook page, I mean, you don't even know if someone exists actually. So, but from looking at her Facebook page, she seems to be a good, honorable, you know, activist, community activist. It called me a Stalinist, which was kind of amusing actually, because she was coming from a Trotskyist position in most places and advocating United Front with the Democratic Party, which is actually a Stalinist position and a criticism of Trotskyists, of Stalin and the Communist Party while he was up until 1953. But there's a whole like a whole legend of the history of struggle that it seems to have been crafted fairly recently that prevails across social media now. About, you know, when you call somebody a neo-McCarthyite for this whole thing with Russia, they, you know, they conflate Stalin and Hitler, and you know, you'll hear things about Assad the dictator and all of this stuff, and Putin the dictator. As they deny the charge, and it's bizarre as hell. It seems like there's a really elastic narrative that's been crafted and being peddled that essentially says that Trump and everybody that ever met him is a fascist. These people are fighting fascism, and they're lining up under the banners of the most reactionary moments in U.S. history. And ignoring a whole lot of U.S. history, like if fascism began on January 20th of 2017, what did you call the system that prevailed, for example, during Jim Crow? You know, in the wake of the assassination of John F. Kennedy, you know, by apparently, and many people believe this, by the CIA and other, you know, deep state folks. What do you call the state that conducted the war against Vietnam, or have been conducting wars against Iraq and a dozen other places, and people in the United States on the streets being shot? That's not fascism, I guess.
Yes, or the mass incarceration state, or
really?
The fact that our Congress is so, I mean, if people really want it, it's too bad people don't really think about the word, what the word fascism means. It ought to be retired, frankly. But that we have a Congress that just acquiesces to presidents, and when presidents say they're going to bomb here or kill people there, they say nothing and don't even use the constitutional powers they have to fight back. So the neoliberal schemes that have privatized, you know, even public education, those are all fascistic. But to hear everybody tell it nothing was wrong until January 20th, and everything's going to be much, much worse. So, yes, and the other thing I find interesting is that people are stuck in this, like this time zone with Russia, and every reference to Trump with Russia, mocking Trump and claiming this relationship with Putin, they always have a hammer and a sickle, And I wonder, like, am I the only one who knows the Soviet Union collapsed 25 years ago?
I know.
references to Comrade Putin. And now we have a capitalist, the Soviet Union collapsed. We have a capitalist country. And still the only references are hammers and sickles and Comrade and KGB. KGB hasn't existed since the early 90s. I'm not saying they don't have an intelligence agency, but right. It's the FSB and the GRU. And the media know they changed the names of other countries and realize you don't say Burma anymore. You say Myanmar, but they go on and on about the KGB. And I think if they said FSB, it wouldn't evoke any scary images with people, so it has no use for them. But the ignorance of Americans, the fact that Russia has been targeted with this hatred is very, very sad and very, very dangerous. The continued effort to try to win regime change in Russia and get rid of Putin because he speaks for his country, because he asserts his country's interests, because he tells the United States, I'm drawing a line here in Syria. Russia stood by and abstained in the Security Council. They could have vetoed. They could have prevented the no-fly zone, which kept the Libyan military, the only ones with planes, from protecting their country. So Russia and China, to their eternal shame, just abstained and didn't stop it, and they realized their error later. And that's all to the good that they finally did. But Russia has not threatened us. It's the other way around. It's the United States that instigated the coup in Ukraine and put straight-up neo-Nazis in power. So when Trump says NATO is obsolete, he's right. Now, it's not. He does not have my politics, so it's interesting that he may say something I agree with, but I have to say I'm sure not for the reasons I would say, even though we end up with making the same point. We don't need NATO. NATO, well, you do need NATO if you want to practice imperialism, if you want to increase the power of the American hegemon, excuse me, and threaten Russia by expanding NATO into the former Soviet bloc nations by putting troops right on Russia's border. NATO helped to overthrow Gaddafi. NATO was in the process of trying to overthrow Assad. We don't need NATO, and leftists ought to say we don't need NATO anymore. So here we are with people following the discredited Democratic Party. If Democrats had any respect, they all would be afraid to leave their houses. But instead, the reaction to Trump is acquiescence to failure. And these people who engineered this debacle still get a hearing. And it's quite disgraceful. It'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out.
Yeah, you mentioned the hammer and sickle thing. I saw that go by a few times, too. And you know, it struck me, but I didn't really process it until now. You're talking, it was on the Soviet flag, but you're talking essentially about the symbology of the unity of the proletariat and peasantry in Russia as 100 years ago. And in other words, of the toiling masses rising up. And it's interesting that that's what they're using to smear Trump, a billionaire, by the way, and that this is what they're marching under, that they are marching in opposition to hammer and sickle and calling themselves of the left at the same time.
Well, it shows you how little people really know and how left-wing they are not, that they would do this and carry the water for the Republican Party.
And the Democratic Party.
The Democratic Party. But it was the language, it used to be the language of Republicans.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is still of some. Now that's going to be interesting to see, because any rapprochement, any détente with Russia is going to be opposed by some Republicans as well. So it will be interesting to see if Trump can pull that off.
You know, this is another thing, too. I've noticed this a lot. This has been going back a year and a half since Trump started to register, click in the polling. And that is the, it's, I wouldn't even say a cottage industry. It's more like an industrial park of amateur psychologists and psychiatrists who are able to, through a TV screen, do a diagnosis of someone as a narcissist, as, you know, I've heard a half dozen different psychiatric diagnoses of Trump by, you know, people that generally should be walking around, some of them, the people that I know, should be walking around with their own in the pocket with a prescription attached to it. And this is prevailing, however, across the media. It's a pretty scary concept all by itself, that.
Yes, it is. You could do that to any president. I mean, you could do that. I happen to think there's anybody who really wants to be president has a...
Yeah.
An emotional problem of some kind.
Yep.
But, yeah, but Trump is so different, not being a politician and being so impolitic. And some of his outbursts, you know, are more interesting. But I do not find that aspect, those aspects of his personality to be the things that that bother me. But it's also interesting to notice a couple of days ago, the New York Times actually said he lied. He said something that is definitely untrue. Trump repeated that he believes he lost the popular vote because of vote fraud, that there were people voting illegally. And Hillary Clinton received nearly 3 million more votes. So he's claiming there's vote fraud and to the degree of 3 million fraudulent incidents. And that is not true. But the New York Times headline read, Trump lies.
Right.
Now, I found this very interesting. The New York Times never calls a president a liar, even when they are clearly lying. They will even assist the president in telling lies. They generally curry favor with politicians, but most politicians also curry favor back, and Trump is not doing that. And it made me wonder how this administration is going to end. For the New York Times to call the president a liar, and no honeymoon, this is within 72 hours of his being the president, they called him a liar in print, said he told a lie.
Yep.
And I'm not offended on Trump's behalf, but I think it is an indication that the powerful elites are going to may try to end his administration. They would support impeachment efforts, something like that. That is what came into my mind. And I noticed all these other lies that presidents told. Bush told lies to get the U.S. into a war in Iraq, and which killed hundreds of thousands, perhaps a million people. Obama told lies about Libya, told lies to claim that he had the right to kill any one of us. So they will help repeat presidential lies, work with them to lie and get what they want. And Trump has been kicked to the curb immediately. And this is definitely something new, but their reason for calling him a liar is not anything righteous. And I don't trust them or think this is necessarily a good development. I hope they're consistent for the rest of their history when they call catch presidents saying something untrue, that they use the same language, but I doubt it. So this is going to be we'll say this for Trump. He has exposed people, or, you know, people expose themselves, I guess, and we see who really cares about our rights, who really cares about democracy, who really wants to help the people survive in this collapsing system, and who does not. And so when we see politicians, members of the Black Caucus going along with this foolishness, it exposes them as the Black misleadership class, who we must fight first before we talk about fighting Trump.
You know, this thing about the New York Times, for example, the a headline stating, before there's any fact-finding, you know, characterizing something that he said as a lie, in the headline, no less, where, and the Washington Post did the same thing the same day, and CNN, just yesterday was running a banner, you know, as you had the people, you know, the talking heads talking, the graphic used the same language and the same style. And this is an innovation in journalism. Normally, forget presidents, for anyone, you state, you know, Trump claims 3 million or whatever, despite data, you know, or whatever. And instead of processing that into a lie. Now, if there were fact-finding, if it were conclusively proven, you know, by, you know, people looking at it as a consensus, yeah, this is legitimate, you know, looking at actual facts, that this is not true, that this statement that he made is a false statement. And, you know, it's happened after the fact-finding, so he's doing it knowingly, then you could say he lied. And right. Even then, you would do better reporting, stating that despite the fact that you had this report, despite the fact that experts all agree, despite the fact the majority of the American people agree, he insisted on repeating the same statement, which is, you know, at this point, not acknowledged to be true by anyone else. That's how you would report it. But in a headline to call it a lie, it's a change in journalism. It's an abandonment of it, and certainly of reporting, and it's something else.
Yes, it is, and it's you know, it's it tells you the degree to which Trump is proposing things that are against elite consensus. I don't think that. I don't know that the New York Times cares that much about me and my voting rights. I don't believe that they do, but he is going against them. And it's interesting. Obama's not president anymore, and they're still kissing his behind. So even as they're calling he lied, as other presidents have done. I that's what presidents do. I think it's on, you know, page 5 of the job description, subsection C.
Presidents lie. And their lies have a body count. All, you know, like Obama, for example, lied about Libya, and you know, there's a body count there. Syria, Ukraine, etc.
Sure. I mean, horrible things. And but Trump has unhinged everyone, every institution. I think he's unhinged himself a bit. I mean, but at any rate, so we have people making not thinking about what they're saying, even as they oppose him. But I still say that the first fight that most progressives, most of whom are members of the Democratic Party, the first fight that we must have, I'm not a Democrat any longer, but should be with the Democratic Party, and putting them under the microscope and calling them to account for this horrible campaign that they ran, that Hillary Clinton raised $1 billion. Somebody pointed out to me that her campaign slogan was, "I'm with her." And it was all about her.
Right.
You know, make America great again, whatever it meant. And I think that was the beauty of that slogan. It could mean whatever one wanted it to mean.
That's right.
But it was about other people.
Yeah.
It was about the country.
Yeah.
But instead of having a slogan, you know, "She's with us," it was about "I'm with her."
Right.
And that, I think, encapsulates how they, you know, I read recently she was spending money, it's ridiculous, and campaign funds in Nebraska, a red state with just a couple of electoral votes, and realized too late that they were in trouble in Wisconsin and Michigan. And these are things that have to be discussed, because these not only were tactical mistakes, but they say a lot about the Democratic Party and its incompetence, and the fact that they just saw Bernie Sanders as a nuisance to be dispatched and never stopped to ask themselves, why is he getting so many more votes? Why is he more popular than we thought? How can we incorporate at least one of his major policy programs into our campaign? Something, anything. But it was all about doing the same old that got Clinton and Obama elected, and they assumed they could do the same thing when there was an outsider, Trump, who had changed the way presidential politics would be run.
You know, I guess we'll close with the discussion on this point. The thing being raised, the lie, is his claim that 3 million ineligible voters voted, dead people,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. And so But rather than just characterizing it as a lie or asserting the position, which he actually didn't assert that, you know, that particular set of facts, but rather said that there was a lot of stuff that goes on normally. There are lots of dead people that are registered and many of them vote. I'm sure that's true. And also that people who live in multiple, you know, are registered in multiple states vote multiple times. And I know people that are registered in multiple states, including someone we both know, because he works in one state and lives in another and just got enrolled that way as a legacy. He's calling for an investigation. Now, when you know, people don't start investigations willy-nilly because you never know, you might end up being the victim of it, depending on where the facts actually are. We
right.
know that the Republican establishment, which is also, if you look at McCain and Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz, et cetera, you know, arrayed against Trump, they rest on voter suppression. Now, an investigation of, you know, what he called rigged elections, but this kind of an investigation certainly could stumble on the fact that 300,000 people got dumped from the rolls for the primary in Brooklyn, the Democratic primary. And also, though, that perhaps Marco Rubio or Graham or Ted Cruz or whatever got elected by voter suppression. And so it's a weapon that he may be developing that rests in reality. I mean, these elections are rigged. It may not be the way that's being characterized in the media, but an investigation would end up producing facts if it's going to have any credibility.
Well, the you know, the Green Party engaged in an investigation of the vote count in several states and found that the biggest problem was voter suppression, votes that cannot accurately be accounted for, voting methods that don't have any backup. So there's a variety of things that are problematic. The voter suppression that requires ID, that has deprived many people of voting. The fact that felons can't vote deprives citizens right. of their voting rights. So we could go on and on with the problems with the electoral system across this country. It just shows you how, and this is one of Trump's biggest failings, his the fact that he's in defensive even when he won. George Bush also won the same way, lost the popular vote and still won. He dropped
that's
it.
Right.
Once the court ruled, the Supreme Court ruled, he didn't mention it again. He said, that's the way the Constitution is, that's it. But Trump, being Trump, will say the vote still, talk about the vote as being rigged and there was illegal voting, and telling a story about a German golfer who he said said that he saw people voting illegally, and Bernard Langer, who says, yes, I know Trump, but I didn't say I voted because I can't vote. I'm not a citizen. So, it's, you know, this crazy-making stuff, which just gives everyone pause, gives ammunition against Trump. But then the left will foolishly seize on it as another reason to oppose him instead of talking about how he ended up as president. And I think that needs to be the focus, and fighting against policies that he's putting forward that people object to, and not to get caught up in this you know, anti-Trump frenzy, which he himself assists in making possible.
Margaret Kimberly is a columnist and senior editor at blackagendareport.com. She has a weekly column there under the heading Freedom Rider. We spoke with her from New York via Skype Thursday about her column this week, Democrats Attack Trump from the Right, which can be seen at blackagendareport.com. Margaret, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tom.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.